All right, all right. Grab your Bibles and turn to Psalm 150. By the way, thank you so much. That means a whole lot to me. I tell my friends all the time that in 1995, I became best friends with Eastview Christian Church, and we've grown up together. And so I'm so honored to be your pastor, and I'm grateful that the Lord's given us 20 years. And this is that season. There's really that season where we get to come and we get to think about praising the Lord. I know we praise the Lord all the time, and we should, and we're going to learn about that today in Psalm 150, but today we're going to talk about praise the Lord. That's the whole sermon, by the way. That's it. Praise the Lord. The art of preaching is to be able to talk for 35 minutes about three words, and the Lord's given me that gift, so today we're going to talk about praise the Lord. That's it. And we praise the Lord in a variety of ways, and you guys have already done that here this morning. We start off with the choir and the orchestra, and this Thursday and Friday nights at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a Praise the Lord Christmas concert. I hope you all come out for that, all right? And yesterday in this place, there was people teeming with volunteers and people that are our guests, and it was Imagine and all the gifts that you've given over the last month or so, we were able to give to thousands of people in this town and show the love of Jesus Christ. And by the way, some of y'all are here back today from yesterday, Imagine. Welcome to our family. We're glad you're here. And we want you to know that we're about praising the Lord. My heart is really full today thinking about praising God. In fact, these three words, oh, by the way, there's another reason to praise the Lord, the lighting of the preaching stool. Ta-da! It's not Christmas till that happens. I almost forgot. Just flashing, no, light the stool, okay. People asked me last week in the staff, they asked me about an embarrassing moment over the last 20 years. I'm like, I mean, like every Sunday is an embarrassing moment. It's what I do, embarrassing moments. Praise the Lord anyway for that, right? By the way, you guys know this. You can sum the words praise the Lord in one word. You often do if you've been around church. You've heard it from church people. It's the word hallelujah. We'll get to that more in just a moment, but hallelujah literally means praise the Lord and vice versa. And this redundancy of lyrics and songs that are repeated repetitively bothers some people. See what I did there? It's a little redundant, right? In fact, sometimes people, some of the newer courses are the repetition of the same words over and over and over and over again. And I believe the reason that happens is because God's created this gift called music to take stuff that we just hear as words and to make it emotional and make it sink into our hearts and make it stay there. So nobody here just sings, let it snow one time, that's it. We sing, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Now some of you here don't sing that at all, right? You'd let it not snow. But it's the idea that if you repeat something with music in the background, emotionally it seals this truth into your heart. And we do this with worship all the time. When I was growing up in church, you guys know that I grew up in church, right? And I've been there since I've been a little kid, so I'm that church rat guy. But we used to sing a song that was repetitive. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You guys know it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wow, it's like we're singing. Hallelujah. Right, okay, you got it. You know what you're saying over and over again? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's repetitive. We sang this song when I was in youth ministry. It was just a simple chorus. I could actually lead it myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the whole song. It's the word hallelujah. When I hear a song like that, I go, I think I could write lyrics. I just need somebody to put music to it. There's genius lyrics there. We sing all the time the same words over and over again. Even the famous Hallelujah chorus, which by the way, just historically was written as a cantata for Easter services. But we sing it at Christmas every year, the Hallelujah chorus. You know, Hallelujah, right? 167 times in that song is the word Hallelujah. Apparently, it's not bad to repeat hallelujah, praise the Lord, over and over again, which is really good because that's what Psalm 150 does. It's the whole song. Let's read it together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with the loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Guess what the last word is? Praise the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us today. God, we ask you to come in this place that every heart will be drawn into this idea of praising you who are alone or worthy of praise. God, even this sermon I offer to you as a praise, I pray that you would use it for your glory. I pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit, that every soul would walk away going, wow, God is awesome. And they would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. God, I know you can do this because you raised your son Jesus from the dead. So by the power of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, would you move today? Would you speak to us? Would you help us get better at praising the Lord? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in my mind, this is the ultimate praise song. It's the ultimate praise song. Most of you guys are familiar with some, if not all, of this song. It's probably one of the most quoted psalms. If you ask a lot of people, what's your favorite psalm? Most of them will say Psalm 150. And here's what I love about Psalm 150. It's deeply profound. It's profound if you think about it, and we're going to here for just a few moments. It's profound, but it's also simple enough that a kid can sing hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Simply profound is right down my path because I'm not very profound, but when it's simple, I get it. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope you get it. You're here today to praise the Lord. It's what we do. It's why we come here every Sunday. Maybe today we'll learn a little bit more about it. And if you're here and you're visiting here today, guess what? This idea of praising the Lord is for you too. It gives you a chance to go, why do these people come here every week? Why do these people invite me in here every week? Why am I visiting this place today? It's because of these words, praise the Lord. And so let's just jump right in to see what this is all about here. And we begin with this word praise that we've talked about before in the Hebrew language. The word hallel is that word that means literally to shine. Hallelu is the form here. And it's what it says. If you could read this in the Hebrew, it's like hallelu, 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 hallelu. That's all it says. It means to shine. In other words, to praise God, to hallelujah God, is to shine on him, is to point to him, to say something great about him. And that's what worship songs are all about. I can describe it for you in a different way because in the Hebrew language, this word hallelujah is also used in a different way. In Jeremiah 9, I have those passages written down there in the notes today. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, the same Hebrew word is used. Listen to the word, how it's expressed. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. What Jeremiah is saying is, don't worship, don't say hallelujah to your strength. We're good at that. Don't say hallelujah to your knowledge. We're good at that. Don't say hallelujah to all the stuff you have. We're good at praising people and things that we have, or we have strength, or we have knowledge. He says, listen, if you're going to praise the Lord. If you're going to brag about God. In fact, this same passage is quoted over and over again in the New Testament. The New Testament authors say it this way as they remind us what our lives in Christ are all about. It. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So there's just a rule for us when we come to worship. We're not boasting about us. We're not boasting about our church. We're not boasting about the people up on stage. We're boasting about the Lord. We're pointing. We're shining. We're saying good things about him. That gets us at the beginning of understanding what praise the Lord means. But if you're here visiting, and even if you've been here for a long time, I think it's good for us to reiterate and remember, why are we praising the Lord? Why are we shining on him? Why are we saying great things about him? Well, we see in verse 2 some reasons for praising the Lord. The first reason is because of his mighty deeds. Because he's done some good stuff. He's done some powerful stuff. And if you're Old Testament people of God, you can recall some of the great stories. 2 to 3 million people delivered from Egypt out of bondage because of 10 plagues that God miraculously, mighty deeds. They were hungry out in the desert, and 2 to 3 million people, how are you going to feed them? I'll just rain bread. They all eat. for 40 years. Mighty deeds of God. Sometimes they were in battles and they were going to lose by their own human strength, and armies were chasing them and they had chariots. I love one of the stories in the Old Testament. They're chasing them, they're bearing down, and the Lord made the chariot wheels fall off. Can you imagine? And the people in the other army, they're, hey, turn around, y'all. Their God's fighting for them. One time they're being chased and pursued by another army, and the Lord causes big hailstones to come down and take out the whole army. A lot of times he made them hear sounds, so they started turning on each other and killing each other. God has a litany of mighty deeds in the Old Testament, but guess what? Today, if you're visiting, and today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're surrounded by a bunch of people who can testify to the mighty deeds of Jesus Christ in their lives. That's why we come. That's why we say praise the Lord. I know, I talked to somebody last week that is a cancer patient that was supposed to die 7 years ago. I talked to him last week. And you're surrounded with people who were supposed to be gone. You're supposed to take them out. But somehow the Lord's kept them going, given them the strength, healed their bodies. There's people around you every Sunday whose marriages were in shambles. They were near divorced or even divorced, but somehow the Lord's healed them, brought them back together. Some of them are actually pouring into younger marriages today. There are people around you who have experienced tragedies that are deep, but they keep the joy of the Lord. There are people who were on the wrong side of the law, imprisoned. Do you guys know that you go to church every Sunday with people who were in jail? But now they are free in Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb. That's the story. Every Sunday, you're surrounded by people who have been addicted to drugs and drinking, but now they're clean and sober, and they're clean not only emotionally and physically, but spiritually. There are people all around you who are surrounded by people who've experienced miracle births, that they've prayed for babies and God's given. They've miracle adoptions that have come through for them. People who have gotten unexpected income that they didn't plan on, an unexpected job that they didn't think they were going to get, and there's people around you whose relationships have been healed and bodies have been healed and minds have been healed. Literally, when you come in here every day, you can argue about Jesus and the church and whether you believe him or not, but you're surrounded today by hundreds, maybe over 1,000 testimonies of people that can say, hey, Jesus is a God of mighty deeds. Praise him for his mighty deeds. But don't just praise him for his mighty deeds. Why do we brag on him and shine a light on his greatness? Not just because of the stuff he does. We praise him for who he is. Look in verse 2 again. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. It's really hard to translate it in the English language because the excellent greatness are these two Hebrew words. One literally means increasing, more and more, and the other one means more value. So in other words, however you can express it, whatever words you can use, however you can say to God, you're greater than I thought you were, if you express that, you still are not getting to it, but you should. Praise the Lord. He's exceedingly great. And when you figure out how great he is, multiply that by 1,000 and try it again, because he keeps exceeding the greatness that's in our minds and our hearts, what we understand him to be. Words can't describe how great he is. And so I say today, we could just stop right here. The sermon could end right here. Praise the Lord for all that he's done, mighty deeds, and praise the Lord for who he is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Almost praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We talked about this last week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, guess what? Of all this praise, all of this praise finds some of its greatest expression through musical instruments, as you and I understand. And so this song gives us a great insight. I love Psalm 150 because we get a chance to peek in to an ancient worship service. 3,000 years ago, people who loved God had a chance to worship God, and they used instruments in their worship. And because of David and because of what we have here, we get a chance to look at some of that. This first picture, and by the way, all of these are instruments that we know historically. They've either found archaeological evidence or pictures like on walls and cave drawings and stuff like that. There's evidence that all of these things I'm going to show you exist. So here we are, this first guy mentioned in Psalm 150. Praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. It's the shofar, literally a ram's horn. And that's what it looks like. If you go to the Holy Land, you can buy one, okay? They still use them today. But it was used in worship, the shofar. This guy is playing what we would call a tambourine, literally in the Hebrew language, a hand drum. So praise him with a tambourine, right? This guy's playing a harp, all right? one of many different forms of a harp. There's all kinds of different kinds of harps, tall, small, different stringed instruments, it literally says here in this passage. So we get an insight. This is what worship looked a little like 3,000 years ago when it says, Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise him with the lute and the lyre and the trumpet. This next picture will give you another insight into this. I don't know where we got this picture. It's an all-girl band. I think it was like the Bangles during their Egyptian, walk like an Egyptian tour. I don't know. But we know that these are historical instruments, that they actually played this thing. You can still go some places today and find an instrument like this. Even in India, we were just there. It's like a gourd that's kind of dug out and strings are stretched across it. And there's been that kind of instrumentation forever. They use that in worship. You can see these strings, the harps here that they're playing. This is the pipes. You know, we talk about pipes. Praise him with pipes. Literally, in the Hebrew language, it praise him with blowing. That's what it says. And so they had a lot of the stuff that you've seen up here today. Instruments you blow into, instruments you strum, instruments you beat. Loud and clashing cymbals. I didn't bring you a picture of that today because most of us know what in the world that is. I did bring you another picture, though, a very famous instrument, the electro hucarnio flunks. It's not a real instrument, but if we had one here today, we could use it to praise the Lord because instruments, musical instruments, are used to praise the Lord. Did you know that instruments have been around almost as long as human history as far as we know? We're told in the book of Genesis that there was a guy who invented instruments. His name is Jubal. And if you want to look it up, Genesis chapter 4, verse 24, he's the guy that created, let's play instruments. And we assume that he began to use that to praise the Lord. What we do know is when we come to Psalm 150, 3,000 years ago, about the time of David, David really made instrumental praise a way to praise God. I mean, he really upped the ante when it came to importance. If you don't believe it, look at this. If you think sometimes we have too many musicians or a lot of musicians or a lot of music on stage, listen to this. In 1 Chronicles 23:5, David appointed 4,000 instrumentalists. He says, 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with the instruments that I have made for praise. There were 4,000 people who gave their talents and their abilities for the Lord to praise him with instruments. David was really into instrumental worship. But there's more to this sermon than instruments. This sermon, if you look at it, you might want to go, yes, we need all these instruments. It's really not about that. These instruments are used as a way to praise the Lord. In fact, I think there's some things that are kind of deep here that you can kind of get into as I was praying over this week. You know, why do we use instruments and music at all? We use music and instruments to dictate to us emotionally what happens with the words that we're hearing, right? We do this all the time in worship. We can make the lights go up higher and more smoke and the music swell and you will feel like, oh, right? You're ready to do something. We can turn the lights down low and make it really soft and we can play soft music and you're going, I'm meditating. That's the power of music. And I look at this and I go, maybe we can understand worship a little bit by looking at these instruments because instruments like the flute and the harp and the strings, they evoke a calm and peaceful. Right? You don't say, sound the lute and the harps, we're going to war. Right? Because you're not gonna get people jazzed up about that. But if you start playing the harp, you start playing softly on the stringed instruments, you start playing the flute, all of a sudden, guess what? You're gonna have this calm, oh yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wanna think about that. I want to meditate that. On the other hand, there's instruments like the tambourines and the drums and the strings and this word dance there in the end, middle of verse 4, the word dance, machol, literally means to go in a circle. So you get this picture of the Jewish people kind of holding hands and dancing around and praising God. Sometimes instruments are used to say, God's awesome, let's celebrate, let's rejoice, let's have a God party. And oftentimes, that's what we do on Sunday morning. We say, yes, God's awesome, it's great, he saved us, he's mighty, he's awesome, let's express that, let's have a great time. But I think there's some instruments in here that are like the loud clashing cymbals and the drums and the shofar. By the way, the shofar is a horn that was always used to say we're going to war. There are times we come into church on a Sunday morning and we're saying, hey, we're at war. We're at war. Satan's messing with us. He's assaulting us. And here's the deal. And we're going to win. So boom, 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 boom. Clash the cymbals, because he's coming with thundering power and he's going to overwhelm our enemy Satan. That's what he did with his birth. That's what he did with his death. And we win. Sometimes you come into church on a Sunday morning and you go, hey, hallelujah. We win. Get loud. Get noisy. Let's have a party. And then sometimes, let's think about that. Let's be quiet and understand who God is. But here's the deal. Praise, all we've talked about so far in the sermon is hallelujah. There's another part to this sermon. That's only half of the equation. The other part is Yah. Hallelujah. Yah. Yah is the shortened version of Yahweh, the word, the name of God in the Old Testament, the Lord, his personal name. Yahweh. So praise the Lord. And when we consider the Lord, we have to consider his domain. Where does the Lord exist? What is he Lord over? Well, throughout all the scripture, he's Lord over heaven and earth. And did you know that in both heaven and earth, he gets worship all the time? He gets praise the Lord all the time. He gets hallelujah all the time. That's what happens. Look at this passage here. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's not the room that's right down the hallway. It might be referring to the temple and the Holy of Holies where he dwelt. But a lot of people tie it with this next phrase. Look, praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. He's praised in heaven. The Jewish people understood this kind of separation. In fact, the word means a beaten metal plate. So this idea that heaven and earth are separated by some division. And here's what we understand with Scripture, that in heaven, wherever that is, however God exists eternally in heaven, in the eternal places with eternal beings, guess what happens all the time? Praise happens all the time. Apparently, angels don't get tired of telling God how good he is. They've been with him for a long time. Praise is going on in heaven all the time, and it will go on all the time. Heavenly creatures are constantly in the presence of God, and they're constantly shining a light on him, saying, you're great, you're awesome, you're good, praise the Lord, hallelujah. In fact, I used to be scared when I was a little kid, just confession, when I was 5 or 6 years old, sitting in the front row, being pinched by my mom, being force-fed raisins, right? Anything to shut the kid up. And some guy would get up after a worship service and go, oh, this is such a foretaste of heaven. We're going to do this for eternity. I'm like, oh, no, dear Lord. I can barely make it half an hour in this worship service. Please not let this be eternity. I assume that the music in heaven's probably better. And I'm sure certain that the view and the presence of God changes everything. But did you know this, that in heaven, we have this glimpse of heaven where it says the creatures in heaven never stop saying, holy, holy, holy. If you don't like repetition, heaven's going to seem like an eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come, and they never stop saying it. It's never inappropriate. It's never too much. God never says, hey, angels, pipe down. That's enough. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come, is saying forever. And that brings us to the Christmas story. It reveals that behind the good news of Jesus born into the world are a bunch of angels, heavenly hosts, praising God, ready to burst into song. You may not remember the story, although I'm sure you've seen Charlie Brown Christmas, so some of you get your Bible that way, but here's the story. There's shepherds out on the fields keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel. I want you to read it again. There's one angel shows up. So it freaks them out, but it's not like, whoa, the whole, there's one angel says, good news. Today is born today. Today to you in the city of David is born a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And this is going to be good news. And it's great news. And it's like behind the angel choir, there's a whole choir, thousands of angels just great. Now. They can't wait to express praise the Lord, hallelujah. You guys know that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. What were they doing? Praising God. That's what they do. Apparently, they never get tired of praising God. They didn't get tired of praising God before Jesus came into the earth. They certainly don't get tired of praising God now that Jesus has come to save mankind. The greatest praise instrument, though, is not any that we've mentioned today. What about on earth? What does it say about earth? Maybe this verse 1 is talking about praising God in the sanctuary and referring to the worship service the Jewish people did at the temple. But I think verse 6 gives us a better insight into how the Lord wants us to praise on earth. Look what it says. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm going to suggest to you that you are the best and greatest instrument of praise that God's ever designed. That we have this thing that keeps coming back into the story, that from the very beginning, God breathed into us the breath of life. And now everything that has breath, everything that breathes, gets to breathe back out to God songs of praise. We said last week, everybody in here can make a joyful noise, right? We can all sing. Some of you don't like to. Some of you don't like your neighbors hearing you, but you can all, I'm singing, I'm on the stage, I'm in a sermon. It's like Elf, right? We can all do it. You don't even have to have a song. You can start singing because you've got breath that can go through your vocal cords and you can express something. And here's what I would say to you, that the Bible says of all the stuff that God made that you and I are his favorite. If you're visiting today, take this home with you. Of all the stuff you see, every amazing thing in the world that's ever been discovered or noticed or seen by science and all the stuff that you've seen in your life, of all the stuff that God made, you're his favorite. He said, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. But when he made man, he said, that's very good. And so it occurs to me that his favorite form of worship is when his favorite creation sings praise with the breath that he's given them for his glory. That you are God's favorite instrument of praise. And when you come to church and you give God praise, then he is pleased. Maybe you should ask yourself a couple of questions that will describe for you this Christmas season for you. What tune are you playing in your soul right now? What's the song that's in your soul? Or maybe you should ask this, what instrument are you? This Christmas, what instrument are you? Maybe that'll help you kind of understand that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But this may go even deeper, guys. Because this literally, if you want to translate this last song literally, it could be, let every breath praise the Lord. Let every breath, all breath. Maybe it's not just for Sunday morning. Maybe we're not just supposed to sing on Sunday mornings. Maybe we're not supposed to sing certain times or say good things about God at certain times. Maybe he wants us to live a life where every breath is an act of worship and praise to him. Because every breath we take is either a praise to God or it's an opportunity missed to tell God how great he is. May we become those great instruments of praise that use every breath to focus on this great and awesome God who's done so many good things in our life. And that's what praise is all about. I hope and pray that you don't miss this today. And I think it's the reason this song is repetitive. Because if I repeat something enough to you, you'll get it. Look what this song says. I just read it again with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Look. Praise who? Him. Verse 2, praise who? Him. Verse 2, praise. Verse 3, praise. Verse 3, praise. Verse 4, praise. Verse 4 again, praise. I can't do this anymore. I get lost. You get the idea. 9 times. As if the guy that wrote this song says, they won't get it unless I tell it to them over and over again. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. This worship that we do for God is always about him. As your pastor, your spiritual shepherd, let me be blunt and remind this all once again why we're here today, why you get dressed up and shower and put on perfume and cologne and look nice and sweet and say Jesus stuff. Why do we come here every week? Let me remind you, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about this church, not about other churches. It just simply is not about, this song is specifically not dedicated or directed to me and you. Praise him. Worship, praise the Lord, hallelujah, always has to be about God. About the Lord, about his son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes Christians get distracted by whether they like worship or the worship service was good or whether they got something out of it. This may shock you, but Christians have opinions about worship services. But listen, if you're a Christ follower today, let me encourage you. Here's what you should walk away with today. I don't want you to walk away. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, don't walk away going, oh, that was awesome. Love that song. Oh, I really got a lot about that today. I love singing that song. That's fine, except that's just not the point. What would be better and what I'd feel better about is if all of us walked away today and said, you know what? I wonder what God got out of that. I wonder when we shut this place down this afternoon, we go home and take a nap and eat and watch football, whatever you do. I wonder if up in heaven, God's going, man, that was a great worship service today. Because the people opened their hearts and they said, praise the Lord. And they meant it. And they sang off key. But I love them. And it was good. And sometimes the musicians messed up and the instruments failed, but they tried their very best. And it was good because it was an awesome worship service because it was about me. If you're visiting here today, and I know that several of you yesterday said, I'm coming to your church tomorrow. I hope you're back, and I can't see you specifically, but I know you're there. I know there's dozens of visitors here today. I'm glad you're here. I welcome you to Eastview. We want you to feel like family. Welcome to our family. But I just need to tell you before you join our family, this is not about you. Nothing that we've done here today, these lights, this music, these voices, these songs, these instruments, the hours of practice, hurting kids on and off this stage, none of this is about you. It's for the Lord. We offer it to Him. We say, hey, we want to offer you praise. And it's all for Him. Look at it this way. If you're visiting today, you're simply eavesdropping on us as we brag about God. You don't have to participate. You just get to listen to other people singing and praising and shining and bragging on God, and you get to walk away. Here's what I want you to walk away. I'm praying that you walk away with today. Not thinking, that was cool. Like the lights, like those people, they're friendly. I don't want you to say any of that, although I hope some of that's true. What I want you to walk away saying, man, they are really impressed with their God. They really think highly of Him. And they don't hold back when they praise because He's an awesome God. This is how it was 2,000 years ago when the angels sang. Some shepherds, did you understand this? Shepherds were visitors on that Sunday. This wasn't their story. They didn't walk away going, did you hear that choir? They were awesome. They walked away saying, let's go see this thing. Let's go see God in the flesh. Their praise instantly turned away from the worshipers to the one who's worshiped. And they went to see the Christ child. When the angels sang glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among whom with whom He is pleased, they were spectators. But they were drawn in by this praise to become something more than spectators. And I pray for all of us this Christmas that if you're a follower of Christ, you remember it's about the Lord in the manger who grew up to be the Lord and Savior, who grew up to be the one who conquered death and is now seated at the right hand of God. I hope you get that. And I hope you remember this is about Him. If you're visiting today, I hope that today will be the day where this Savior is no longer just a little baby in a cute Christmas story, but He becomes your true Savior. You declare Him as Lord in your life. Because I believe the beginning and end of all things, as I understand human life and as I understand the Bible, the beginning and ending of this song, the beginning and ending of all things in the universe, the beginning and ending of my life and your life, the beginning and ending of this sermon can be summed up in three words. Praise the Lord. It's all the world. Eternity, heaven has always been, before we were created, before the world existed, there were beings praising God. And if you fast forward to Revelation 19, guess what word keeps showing up over and over and over again in the praise songs of the people and the creatures that are around the throne? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In other words, this is a word and this is a thing that we can do here on earth that will never be old. It will never get boring. And so we join together today with the Christmas choirs and the angelic choirs, and we sing praises to God because He is worthy of praise. We thank Him for what He's done. We thank Him for sending His Son. And when we get to glory after this life is over, guess what we're going to say? We're going to say hallelujah. And we'll be doing that for an eternity. Let's pray. So God, thank You for a chance to share Your word today. I just pray that You're blessed by it. And I pray that somehow, Lord, You'll stir in our hearts to become better worshipers and people who praise You better. not because we want to improve our skills at praise. We want you to be glorified, and we want to focus on that. So, Lord, would you please, in our spirits today, in our hearts, would you move in us for your glory? For your glory alone, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.